This is the national radio broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American leader.
Well, at this point in our discussion, and I believe me, I'm really appreciating your presence. Thank you for being our guest.
A lot out of this.
And as I said, I introduced it in the beginning, I said we're introducing a series. Okay. And this is just a part of that series. We will be sitting again with you as soon as we can find time. Your schedule and my time, my schedule permits, we'll be sitting again for the taping of this discussion. And I would like to end this segment with acknowledging what you just brought out. Prophet Muhammad said about the effect of religion on people and how it's superficial, cosmetic, and they miss the real ingredients,
yes,
the nutrients in the religion. They miss. Prophet Muhammad was brought to a gentleman, a man, who was following the religion spiritually and doing all the rituals. He prayed all the five prayers. He was never missing his prayers and other rituals. He was completing them. He fasted and everything when the fast month comes. And they gave this picture, this beautiful picture of achievement for the individual to the Prophet. And the Prophet said, who takes care of him? Who provides his needs, his food, his clothing, etc.? They say, we do. So you're better than he is.
Oh, wow. That's powerful.
Yes, it is. It shows that the Prophet saw ritualism as Jesus Christ did. He put down ritualism in the gospel. He saw ritualism as a serious problem for the advancement of society.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And he let not them know, but that's there to let the world leaders know who will get acquainted with the Prophet, or with the Quran and the Prophet, to let them know that the big problem for us in the world is ritualism. It's ritualism. People have to have substance for their guidance, for the guidance of their life. Human beings begin as thinkers, as all human life begins as a thinker. As thinker, and the thinker develops into a philosopher.
Yes.
Yes. And whether you reach that point of philosophical inquiry, where you're serious about knowing the nature of things, not just the outer appearance, but you want to know what makes this work, what
yes.
makes this shape up, take
yes.
that form, etc. You become scientifically oriented before you even become scientific, as we know science
yes.
in the world today. So we all begin as thinkers. And we all begin with patterns of thinking. Our thinking takes patterns.
Yes.
And if we don't have an orientation that's, I would say, has its source in matter,
yes,
in real natural world creation, if we don't have our beginning there, then we take patterns. Sometimes the pattern is faulty from the beginning.
Yes.
A faulty pattern. And one faulty pattern follows another. Most people are just, I would say, creatures of at random thought and at random patterns of development for their growth of their mind or mentality.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why the world is in such a mess. And it seems like it's a job too big for us to say everybody need to be re-educated, or we need to have some kind of supplements to our curriculum or education that would include how concepts in nature, plant life, animal life, concepts in nature has inspired concepts in science.
Oh yes.
Yes. And how you can see the helicopter in the world of insects in the
right.
world of insects and birds
right
and birds what's that bird the hummingbird
yeah. yeah
you can see that principle.
Right.
And these animals will make you not be so frightened.
Right.
By the inventions of science and modern man.
Yeah, the scientists lose their mystique.
Yeah.
You see that they're all just basically studying and copying or using principles. And
they overwhelm us.
Yes.
With their knowledge and with their creations, you know. And they mystify us to the point where we just, as you say, become paralyzed.
Yes.
We become paralyzed and we don't want to even deal with it.
Right.
We don't want to even think about it.
Yeah.
We don't want to even ask any questions. We don't want to ask any questions.
Right.
You know, because the challenge is too much for us.
Yeah.
The challenge is too much for us. But if we could get more help, the nature series, you know, if you got a normal mind, a natural mind, you appreciate watching the nature. You appreciate
absolutely.
That. And it's so good. But why don't they make it clear that we're not only showing you nature, but we want you to know that really man's beginning is the beginning of his curiosities. For understanding, for looking at and appreciating and understanding these things, we're showing you that there's a nature.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's how education developed.
Yeah.
That's how science developed, etc. They should tell the viewers that.
Yeah.
You know, that they don't.
No.
But I think they think that everything is by science now, you know. God says in the scripture, in the Quran and the Bible, I think, has the same story almost exactly. That when Jesus Christ, when Mary was about to give birth, or carry Christ Jesus, peace be upon Mary and her son Jesus Christ, she was put in the care of Zacharias, prophet by the name of Zacharias. He's both in the gospel and in the Quran.
Yeah.
And Zacharias was told to fast 3 days. To get himself in condition to care for her.
Yes.
Said, and don't communicate, don't speak, except by signs.
By signs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just a figure that's kind of typifying the nature of Scripture itself.
Yeah.
That Scripture itself does not communicate to us rationally. It communicates to us by symbols and signs, etc. By stories, picture stories, etc.
Right.
Yeah. And that that's the way you should leave it. And that's the way you should leave the world. You know, if the world doesn't wake them up the way God made it, leave them alone, tell them to go to school. Education.
Well, you know, that's something that you say that. I remember someone argued with me about we were having an argument about literalism and the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and they were saying that their minister, they go to their church because their minister just sticks with the Bible. He doesn't interpret it or anything. So I asked him, I said, so what does your minister do? He just stands up and reads the Bible and closes out.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no. I said, then he comments on it. You know, if you're going to comment, there's some interpretation there.
Mm-hmm.
And they felt kind of stomped then, and I didn't want them feeling that way, so I took the discussion somewhere else. I don't like people to feel like, you know, I've stomped them. That wasn't the point of the discussion. And I said, you know, I remember when I entered college, and for the most part, when I studied literature in high school, it had been pretty literal. Mm-hmm. They tell us the story, you know, it started, this was the story, this happened, that happened, this is the end. It didn't get much more sophisticated than that, even in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I think it probably should have, but it didn't in my high school.
Mm-hmm.
When I got in college, everything was symbols and, you know, interpretation and what does it mean and
mm-hmm.
and the different levels on which you could understand the poem,
right.
etc. And I said, well, you know, and I used the example of Edgar Allan Poe. So I remember this poem, and I had this mm-hmm. portrait teacher, and she had us looking at this poem on 5 or 6 different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I got tired, actually, but she stretched my mind.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, you know, if God created Edgar Allan Poe, and mm-hmm. Edgar Allan Poe could write a poem
mm-hmm.
that we could interpret on 5 different levels,
mm-hmm.
and we all agree that you're supposed to look at it that way.
Yeah.
Why do we think that the books that are supposed to be God's very words are only to be interpreted on the surface, and literally. I don't get that.
No.
Yeah. So, and they said, oh, I see your point. I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to kind of go back into the comfort of their original belief. But I could see that I'd gotten them with that, because that makes us, our intelligence grow. You know, why would Allah give us something that wouldn't challenge our intelligence,
right?
You know, and say this is the book of guidance for you, mm-hmm. but doesn't even challenge your intelligence.
Jesus Christ says, peace be on him, if your child asks for bread, will you give it a stone? Break his teeth up? Kryptonite?
Right. Wow.
No, bread is supposed to be education.
Education,
because it begins with the seed.
Mm-hmm.
And you grind the seed into powder, and then you make you add to the powder water and whatever, and you end up baking it, and it comes out so delicious and chewable.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you would just take a grass seed, that wouldn't be so nice.
No, it wouldn't be.
And in the Bible, they even call the seed sown stone.
Right.
So actually, what Jesus Christ is saying, why do you give them unfinished teachings? You give them the teachings in the first stage or the raw stage that you get it in. Use your intelligence and break it down, work that so they understand it, and give it to them so they understand it and appreciate it and have pleasure
digesting
it. Tasting and digesting
it.
That's what Jesus Christ was teaching them. And in the Quran, it says that Muhammad the Prophet, that he has been taught by God, missioned by God, taught by God, and he comes to you to do what? To teach you the book and the wisdom.
And the wisdom.
Yeah. Al-Kitab wal-Hikma. The book and the wisdom. The wisdom means the logic. For coming to a judgment. Performing judgment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the wisdom. The logic that directs you the way you should go to form a judgment on this particular matter, you see. He teaches you the book and the wisdom. And it says, and also to purify you. Because if you're not purified, if your mind is not cleansed, the pollution that the world put in your head is not taken out of it, you're not going to even be able to read the book.
Yes.
Not to speak of getting to the wisdom.
Well, you know, I think I could be wrong about this, but I really believe that the world has gotten to a point, you know, there's been progress in a lot of areas. You talked about globalization, globism earlier. Uh-huh. Well, and accompanying that, as you know, has been technology that's made that possible.
Yes, exactly.
And I think that technology also makes it possible for a lot of us to have access to the mind of masses of people.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have that ability before.
That's true.
You know, we didn't have the internet. You know, now you can start start your own little radio station.
Yeah.
And now with these digital channels coming out, I think in February everything goes digital. You know.
Yeah.
So some of our technical folks here know what I'm talking about much better than I do.
Yeah.
But I know I got to change my television. Or I got to get something. That's but I do true. Know because we run a television station at the college.
Yeah.
That there's going to be 4 additional stations for almost every television station in this country, and there's going to be stations available.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take what a radio station that used to only, you would only be able to reach people within a certain few square miles,
mm-hmm.
Maybe a couple of hundred square miles.
Uh-huh.
Now you can immediately reach the whole world.
Uh-huh.
With your radio, the smallest little radio station can stream, as they call it, mm-hmm. on the World Wide Web now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you can get the word out that your station is there, people anywhere in this country, anywhere in this world, can go on their computer and listen to what you have to say. And I see that as a tremendous opportunity for us to get the messages and the symbols out that will, for lack of a better word, cure some of the problems, mm-hmm. some of the things that hold us back and holding us back, we hold the world back. African Americans, if African Americans are held back, the whole world is held back.
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
There's so much that the world won't get.
You've done unto all.
You've done unto all.
Mm-hmm.
So
eventually,
I think,
it catches
up with.
Yes.
So now we see other people's children with some of the problems that our children had. You know,
yeah.
Some people are just upset because they weren't around dressing like our children.
No such thing as a black problem anymore.
There's no black problems anymore.
Everybody black and
everybody got the problem. So I think that, as usual, you know, Allah has provided us more than we need to do what we have to do.
Yeah.
And when we start doing it, we begin to see that there's more there than we thought was there when we started out.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And you know, many of the teachers, educators in Islam, especially those from outside the black community, African American community, in Islam, they say that you're not supposed to give interpretation because no one knows interpretation but God. That's what they say. But the Quran says very plainly and clearly that he gave us Muhammad as a teacher who will also teach us the interpretation. It's called ta'wil.
Yes.
He will also teach us the interpretation. Yes. So the Quran, just as other scriptures, the Quran even more so, emphasizes open expression, rational appreciation for rational thought. That we're not to bypass rational interest, rational curiosity.
Yes.
We're to address the rational curiosities of the people in the audience or in the congregation.
Yes.
We're to speak to them too. So a khutbah, most of us don't know what a khutbah is, and we think that khutbah is saying sermon. Khutbah does not say sermon, because sermon could be on a high level, and it could be very logical and rational and sober. But khutbah means that it's always coming from the tool of intelligence that is working with the revelation of God. So it's always a lecture.
Always a lecture.
It's always a lecture. It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But we don't know it, so a lot of the preachers in Islam, they preach. They don't give a khutbah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And preacher is called da'i. And da'i means you're just calling. You're either calling to God or you're calling to the congregation.
That's
It carries.
That's why we need that radio station.
It carries also a picture of a screaming bird.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Coming, trying to rescue its young.
Yes.
Screaming bird. It fears something that's going at its young.
Yes.
And the screaming bird's going. Yeah. The bird can be frightened.
Oh, absolutely.
Even a little sparrow can be frightened.
Yeah.
If that sparrow feels its baby, it's a little new one, and you at the nest, or it can come at you and look bigger than what it is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the preacher is like that. Typical preacher.
That's
but all of them like that, thank Allah. I listened to T.D. Jakes, and the man is worthy of that big following he has.
Yeah, I've heard that he's one that's trying to open the mind and appeal to the intelligence.
Yes, he is. He's doing a good job. And one of them, I just pointed to him as just an example. I think we should close on this. The Bible, our scripture, and Quran, these scriptures are given on different levels so that the person who is uninformed and uneducated can get much to help his life. And life can be sufficiently taken care of by that's on the ground level, first level. But it goes to higher levels, to the most, I would say, advanced intellectual thinker.
Yes.
Goes to the highest level. And even the thinker of the saintly people.
Yes.
Who have reached the highest level of intelligent progression for the thought. Yeah. It's on all those levels. And what should be taken literal is do not lie. Do not steal. Do not cheat.
Yes.
Do not deceive.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be nasty. Mm-hmm. Be decent, etc.
Yes.
Do not be stupid. Be intelligent.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the teachings in Scripture that should be taken just like it is. Needs no interpretation, because common nature tells us how to receive that and practice it.
Right.
If we have the decency to do so.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we're closing out this segment here, Richard. I think we have more than one segment.
I believe so. Yeah.
But we do want to come back, because I think we need to address this more again. The focus is everything in existence. And everything in existence has one word, universe. And universe says one verse. So that should tell us that we should be able to read all of it as one and the same reading, or one line.
Yes.
One statement.
Yes.
And the statement should say, God did this, not you. In terms that we will be addressing will be the cosmos, which is the universe, and cosmism, which is the philosophy or study of the of everything that's in existence, to understand how it came about. And understand how it evolved, how it grew, and how we were expressed out of this great material source that God made, how even it bore human life, and how our life has to evolve to a completion, come to a completion. And the thinking on this existence, or everything that exists, to arrive at some kind of conclusion for our thinking. And the conclusion arrived at by Prophet Abraham and many of the early philosophers, both Greek, African, and others. Sometimes we think the only philosophers are Greek.
Greek.
And the Greek philosopher started out almost worshiping the African philosophers.
Right.
The expression is cosmological argument. That's what we're addressing. This reasoning that Abraham went through to come to the conclusion that this whole existence, everything, even us included, everything, is tied by one logic, universal logic, by one logic, the logic of matter itself, the logic that holds matter, material things together. He arrived at that logic, and the systems that have formed upon that logic, the system of planets, the system of life on Earth, etc., system that represents weather, nature of weather and changes, all of these are systems. So he came to the conclusion that there must be a cause behind all this. And Allah, he reduced the many gods to one. He said, no, there are not many gods. The God is only one, the creator. The God has to begin with God the creator. And he called that God his Lord, meaning that God formed his life and created the necessary help that life needs so that his life would develop from lesser to greater, from inferior to superior. Yes. So, utilizing God's creation, we are told that God made everything, or everything that we find in existence, everything has been formed, put in our life or in our existence for us to utilize. To make use of it. Utilize means to make use of it. Man utilized the power of electricity. He discovered it, Benjamin Franklin, in the sky, when the lightning was flashing, and he got the idea to make an electric light. And he finally was able to do it with the partner working with him, was an African American,
Louis Latimer.
Yes.
With Thomas Edison.
That's right. Thomas Edison found a way to get the energy out of the matter out of matter, and use the same principle that he saw in the lightning, to make lightning a light bulb, negative and positive, clashing, friction, to make light, to make fire and light. So everything has been made for us to utilize. Intelligence of man, people to utilize. When we say man, we're talking about mankind. We're talking about all people, male and female, male and female. And God says to modern man, I believe the Quran addresses modern man needs, modern man's needs to come out of the darkness of ancient man. And God has made everything to be mated with human intelligence. Everything is a mate for human intelligence. And when our human intelligence, or our intellectual curiosities, rational curiosities, and intellectual curiosities engage the external world, there's progress for the mind and progress for the human community. That's how it all happens. Our guest, I want to say doctor, he is doctor, but principal of Kennedy King College, Clyde El-Amin, he mentioned the life of George Washington Carver, his interest in science, and how he developed in progress, and his mind engaging something in his environment, farming and whatever, brought mind and matter to work together, mate like man and woman, and he was able to produce many products. And I would like to see a day come when America, when human thinking becomes so original in the plan of God.
Yes.
Becomes so original that all of us will have that orientation. All of us will have at least be inclined, I have that disposition in our mind to appreciate everything that exists as a communicator, as Allah says in the Quran, of knowledge, science, and mercy. That you get it, then you should be as merciful as God was to you. He relieved you by giving you this knowledge. Now you should relieve your community. You should leave mankind, people, life on this earth. You should bring your findings to their life like George Washington Carver did.
Yes.
He was anxious to get his findings to the scene of man's labors and problems, so that we'd have better conditions for farming or whatever.
Yes,
I heard that he was the one that began to talk to the farmers have to rotate their crops.
He was.
Yes, that's what I heard.
He was.
Mm-hmm. So this completes this segment, which may, after we look at it, might be developed into maybe several segments. And we will continue addressing this concern for our life, that it forms in the best way possible according to the gift of God, what He has given us to work with, and that it continues to grow in the best patterns, so that we realize more and more benefits as a human community on this planet Earth. And it should start right with our life at home.
If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive it in its entirety, you may call 708-862-7733 or visit wdmpublications.com. Ask for catalog number. For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call 708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.